This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Welcome again to the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church. My name is Mark Vance. Glad to be with you on this podcast, which has a unique title. The title of this one, I'm going to work you through the pronunciation here. The title of this podcast is Scrolls in Sinaiticus, or you can say it Sinaiticus. So I like the second one, Sinaiticus, because it just kind of sounds cooler. And I'll explain what Sinaiticus is in just a second, but some backdrop here on really the subject of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about why, just one of the things close to my heart on why I trust the Christian faith as a reliable source has to do with the history and the tradition behind the faith that's been passed down to us, particularly the history and tradition behind why we have our Bible and how it got to us. It's been a subject of lifelong fascination for me, and recently I had this opportunity to go down to the Lanier Theological Library in the Houston area. It's one of the premier theological libraries out there, certainly in North America, if not the world. It's an incredible, incredible resource of study and scholarship. But in particular, they have inside the Lanier Library multiple almost historical artifact collections that are housed there in Houston. It's kind of like you may be familiar with the idea of the Museum of the Bible that the Hobby Lobby family helped to build in Washington, D.C., an incredible collection of biblical artifacts and treasures that tell the story of Scripture and the story of Christ for people. Well, the Lanier Library is kind of like that in some ways. It's like a museum of biblical artifacts, and in particular, biblical documents in the Hebrew, the Greek, and then the translations that come out. They have, for instance, they have multiple just incredible old vellum, like animal skin scrolls. If you want to see what a scroll of Isaiah really looks like, how long it is, they have these cases with ancient scrolls. They have a copy of an original Gutenberg 1611 printed Bible. You have the 1613 version of the King James. It's called the She version because there's a verse where instead of it saying he, it says she in the book of Ruth in that copy. They have those from the 1600s. They're so rare. I mean, just only a handful of them in existence, and two of them are right beside each other in a display case. And I, visiting this theological library, I have to be honest, I'm a little bit of a geek when it comes to some of that stuff. My background from my undergraduate studies was that I studied Hebrew and Greek, and in particular, just was fascinated with the story of how the Scripture came down to us as a process of history. So I want to reflect on two pieces of historical artifact that I got the chance to see in the Lanier Theological Library. One of them, a portion, a little fragment from the Qumran scrolls, or you might know them as the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then secondly, a replica of Sinaiticus, which is one of the oldest existent full copy of the New Testament that has ever been found. I want to tell you the story behind what makes the Dead Sea Scrolls and Sinaiticus so significant. And then what I want to do is try to just build from there to remind you that we're not part of something that's brand new in Christianity. We're part of something very, very old. It's a tradition handed down to us, and it's something that we're following that we can build our lives on because it has a solid historical foundation. I think just a verse that might frame this whole podcast time is 2 Peter 1:16. Where Peter reminds us we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Christian faith is not a religious mythology. It's not a story like the gods of Rome or of Greece. It's not just some sort of made-up fairy tale. It's not a cleverly contrived myth. Peter wants you to know, I saw Jesus. I saw him risen. I saw him living. And what we have in our Bible, New and Old Testament, is the story of that power and coming of the Lord Jesus, who is the Messiah of God, the one who's God's promised king. So let's talk about two things, scrolls and Sinaiticus. So let's talk first about the scrolls that we saw. So inside of the Lanier Theological Library, they have a small piece fragment from, I believe it is the book of Isaiah, that was part of the original discovery in the Qumran or the Dead Sea Scrolls. If you haven't heard of this, I'm going to give you a little bit of the story here. So in mid-1940s, I think it's 1946 or 47, a couple of shepherds, basically Bedouins who are herding goats, kind of inside of the area that is west of the Dead Sea, okay, near some caves, they are herding these goats around. And the story goes, I don't know if this is exactly right, that they're throwing rocks up kind of at the mountains. And there's these kind of cave-like holes in the mountainsides. And as they're throwing the rocks, one of them flies into the cave and hits a jar. They hear a sound that doesn't sound right. So they climb up, enter into that cave. Actually, one of the shepherds falls into one of the caves at some point. And what they stumble upon inside that cave are a number of basically, they're like pottery earthen jars that were storing ancient leather scrolls. Over time, as these Bedouins are joined then over the years by archaeologists, they begin to unpack and look through all the scrolls in this area of the Dead Sea. And they find 10 more caves over the next decade that will contain thousands of fragments that are part of some 900 of these scrolls. Now, these scrolls, why is it so significant that they were found? Well, from biblical archaeology, prior to the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the oldest known manuscript that we have of the Hebrew Bible dates to about the 10th century AD. Okay, so between 1000 and 1100 AD. People say, oh, holy moly, does that mean it was like just written then? No, the reason we don't have a lot of ancient Hebrew scrolls has to do with the Jewish tradition of reverence for the scriptures. When a copy of the Bible began to be worn out, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament scriptures was worn out, or a page was torn, out of reverence for the text, they would destroy that manuscript because they only wanted pure, preserved copies of the Word of God. So what happens is over time, they're not keeping like a long history of old manuscripts, because if those old manuscripts are not in great condition, they don't keep them. So what happens is you don't have lots of ancient texts of the Hebrew Bible. The Dead Sea Scrolls, they have 225 some copies of the biblical books there. And the dating on those Dead Sea Scrolls is well over 1,200 years earlier than the oldest known fragments we had before that of the Hebrew Bible. Okay? So you're holding in your hands at the Dead Sea Scrolls, scrolls that show us the text of the book of Isaiah from over 1,000 years prior to the Hebrew text, the oldest existent Hebrew text that we had. It's worth remembering. Remember, Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And to get a scroll that would extend the date backwards 1,000 years, what we then can do is compare. Let's compare these ancient scrolls of Isaiah to what we had in our newer scrolls, and let's see, do they match up? And what you're able to do because of the Dead Sea Scrolls is gain an even deeper confidence of what was taught in the Old Testament as being the Word of God, because the same Hebrew biblical books we see copied again and again and again. We see the same text. You don't see like a section of Isaiah that we never known existed. No, you see the same text of Scripture in incredible similarity between the Dead Sea Scrolls and we had existent. It strengthened our faith. And so if you want to know more about that, honestly, you should check out the Dead Sea Scrolls on YouTube. I know that sounds silly, and there's plenty of silliness on YouTube. But if you simply search Dead Sea Scrolls and look for like a reputable historical account of them, there's some incredible stories about what they're like, and you get a feel for how old this history of Christianity dating back to the Old Testament is. So those are called Dead Sea Scrolls or Qumran Scrolls. And in this Lanier Library, they have fragments of them. You can see them. It was amazing. I'm sitting there in 2022, and I'm looking at a fragment from the book of Isaiah that someone who is following Yahweh would have read from thousands of years before me. It's amazing. So that's the scrolls side of what we're going to talk about. The second thing that just struck me is inside of kind of a locked glass case, they had replica copies of some of the most famous manuscripts of the Old and New Testament. One of them is called Sinaiticus, or Sinaiticus. It depends on how you pronounce it, but it looks like the spelling of it looks like the word Sinai, as in like the Sinai Peninsula, with a ticus on the end of it. Now, this, I'm freaking out as a kind of biblical history geek at this library because I've never actually seen how big this Sinaiticus would be. And let me give you the story of why this one document from ancient history is so significant. So if you don't know it, it's called Sinaiticus or Codex Sinaiticus. It is one of what New Testament scholars will call there's different ways to put this, but we'll call it the uncials, the famous uncials, the great uncial codices, which are ancient handwritten copies of the Christian Bible in the Greek language, okay? So this one, Codex Sinaiticus, is the oldest existent full copy of the New Testament, where it's all bound together. A codex is basically a precursor to the book form of how we did things. We didn't always bind things at the edges like a book. A codex is is a big book, okay? And this particular codex, it's a great uncial codex. And uncial means it's written in capital letters. A minuscule is written in, not capitals, but whatever the opposite of capitals is. I get stuck on words. It's lowercase letters. There we go. So the uncial of Codex Sinaiticus is one of four great ones. You have Vaticanus and some others out there, but this is the most significant of those great texts. The story of it is incredible. It was discovered in the 1840s by a great biblical textual scholar, okay? Great biblical textual scholar named Count Tischendorf. Now, Tischendorf, he loved the study of the Old Testament. He loved the study of the New Testament, and he loved particularly the discovery of great biblical texts from history. He's looking for ancient Greek and Hebrew manuscripts and searching for them. Well, this German biblical scholar, Konstantin von Tischendorf, he decides to kind of travel all throughout the Near East, Egypt, through Sinai, all through kind of Israel, all of these, looking for ancient manuscripts. And on one of these travels, he goes to a monastery that he has heard rumor might have some very old books and old Greek and Hebrew manuscripts. So the monastery was named St. Catherine's Monastery, and it was on the Sinai Peninsula. And he had heard rumor that actually they had so many old books here, some of them were falling apart, that they were beginning to put these old pieces of parchment in the rubbish that was being destroyed in the ovens of the monastery. Okay? Now, I will say this. St. Catherine's Monastery firmly denies that that was happening, but that's what Tischendorf wrote. So, he begins to look at these kind of like leaves of parchment that he's seeing in these baskets in the monastery, and he realizes he's looking at a very early copy of the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. He retrieves from out of these baskets that he says are destined for the fire 129 ancient leaves that are parts of the Greek manuscript for the Septuagint. And he asks the monks, he's kind of treasuring these things, and they see his attitude toward them, like he's holding a very valuable treasure. And he says, could I maybe take these with me? And at that point, they realize how valuable they are, and they go, well, you can maybe have a third of them. So he leaves in his first visit to the monastery, okay, which happened in 1844. He leaves with 43 leaves of the Septuagint. They're incredibly rare. Okay, incredibly rare. They have portions on leaves of First Chronicles and Jeremiah, all sorts of Old Testament books. All right, now He wants to go back. So he is funded, actually needs funding for this. And so it is, he's funded by the Russians, particularly by the Tsar at that time was Alexander II of Russia. He funds Tischendorf going back to the monastery to do more historical research. He returns in 1845. And at that time, some of the monks bring more books out to him that he had never seen before. Well, he goes back. He goes back again in 1853, okay? In 1853, he goes back again to try to see if they have more. And at this time, they show him, they say, well, we have a very, very old book. There was a monk there who, according to the librarian of that monastery, had been there in many years and was going through and looking at the ancient manuscripts. And notice there was a manuscript in that library noting that was in surprisingly good condition, but that was actually being set aside to be destroyed. Tischendorf, seeing this manuscript, this is, now, how much of this is exactly history? He was a great storyteller, but I'm recounting kind of how he tells the story. In other, to jump it down, he sees this manuscript, and as he sees it, realizes this codex contains the entire Greek New Testament. All of the books in one place. It contains a huge portion of the Old Testament. It's clear pages had been taken out. Likely it contained much of the Old Testament earlier. Here's the significance of it. Tischendorf, there's an incredible story. He eventually asks them to loan it to him, telling him he will return it. He goes to the Tsar of Russia, and the Tsar of Russia goes, no way, that's never being returned. It's mine now. And they refuse to give it back. It ends up, it's now stored in the British Museum in London. This Codex Sinaiticus. The dating of this book goes back to AD 350. So to give you the significance of that, that is a full 500 years older than the oldest manuscript of the full New Testament that they had at that point. It's an incredible discovery. So I'm in the Lanier Theological Library. They don't have Sinaiticus there, people, okay? They don't. That's in London, and you, but they had a replica of it. And you can see the giant, it's just this huge, carefully transcribed Greek manuscript. And this library is just full of these ancient treasures. And I was struck by this, and this is the point of the whole podcast. First, I wanted to tell you a few stories to say, there's a story to how the Christian faith got handed down to you that is fascinating and incredible. It's a reminder that the Bible isn't just God's book, it's a historical book. It's one in the story of how we get the Bible from those scholars, from the monks who first copied it in St. Catherine's Monastery, down to the New Testament and the full Bible that we have in English in our hands readily available today, is an incredible story of God's providence and care for his people. Studying the history of the biblical manuscripts has done more to bolster my faith than almost anything I've ever done. Because what you realize as you dig into it is that actually the Bible, as a book of ancient literature, is the best documented and attested book in ancient history, period. It's not even close. And it's that study of the ancient biblical manuscripts, the study of that is called textual criticism, by men like Daniel Wallace at Dallas Theological Seminary. He was the guy that first kind of, I started reading his works on this, just incredible scholar. You could look him up, Daniel Wallace, amazing stuff. Go on YouTube, listen to him talk about the history of the New Testament. And what you can find is that because of these ancient manuscripts discovered and our ability through the science of textual criticism to compare one ancient manuscript to the other, we can with high degrees of confidence say the New Testament we're holding in our hands today is an accurate reflection of the ones that were passed down to us from the very first moments of Christianity's birth in the first century. It raises your confidence to know when I'm looking at a Qumran scroll and when I'm looking at a replica of Sinaiticus, that I'm part of a tradition that's not just made up fairy tales. It's something handed down to us. It's not just cleverly contrived myths. No, we're receiving a word handed down from the eyewitnesses of His Majesty. And I think it was a reminder too, and this bears saying, we listen to this podcast on electronic devices that the monks who first hand copied Sinaiticus could never have imagined, that the Qumran followers, the Essenes and others, when they were hand copying and treasuring these scrolls of Isaiah, the idea that you're listening with AirPods in your ears to me talk about these things, no one in those days could have ever conceptualized. But just because something is new and cool doesn't make it better, doesn't make it truer, doesn't make it more real. And in fact, if anything, what we live in a world is we've invented technology which makes us incredibly efficient at spreading nonsense. And so I was at the Lanier Theological Library, surrounded by the history of Christianity and old books, and it made me so thankful to be part of the faith once delivered to the saints, to be part of a storyline that's been passed down to me, to realize that in the New Testament ancient manuscripts, we have what scholars will call an embarrassment of riches. We have 1,000 times more manuscript data for the New Testament than we do for the average Greco-Roman scholar. That's incredible to think about. We dwarf the nearest comparison. This historical thing that we're part of in Christianity, it's not something we get to make up. It's something we have to faithfully receive and then pass along. We don't get to become original with it. The goal of Christian teaching, the goal of being a pastor, the goal of this podcast is not creativity, but faithfulness. Our job is to pass down what we've received, to keep passing it down. So, you're part of a very old faith, Christian, one that was first handed down through scrolls like the Qumran scrolls and massive codices like Sinaiticus. And by just maybe dipping your foot, just a toe in the water of the history of the transmission of the Bible to us, what I hope you hear is something that grounds your faith, that reminds you, because of its historical validity, that it's something firm enough to build your life on. So friends, what a treasure we have in the scrolls, in Sinaiticus, in these manuscripts that have passed down to us the good news of Jesus, the eyewitness testimony of the majesty of God come into human flesh. God help us to be faithful to continue to pass that message down to the next generation and the next generation after it.